Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer, and today we're welcoming the Icelandic duo known as Hugar to our studio. They create lovely lyrical keyboard pieces in a sort of ambient minimalist style, but they're also capable of these big, sprawling cinematic pieces that have a kind of post-rock feel to them. You'll find both on their new album called Varða, and the members of Hugar are here to play some of it for us. This first piece is called Loft. That's called Loft, and you'll find it on the latest album called Varða by the Icelandic duo Hugar, who are here with us in the studio. The ensemble consists of Bergur Thorason playing our piano, his keyboards, some electronics. Bergur, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
And Pjotr Jonsson playing the guitar and a rack of electronics. He's got a little keyboard as well. Pjotr, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
I'm saying Hugar because it's spelled H-U-G-A-R, and Americans, when they see this name, will say Hugar or Hugar. How do you guys properly say the name of this band?
Well, we say Hugar.
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 We thought we were being really clever having an international name, but I guess not.
Well, it was your own fault for putting a G in between two vowels.
I guess so.
What does that name mean?
It means minds. It's the plural of mind, so like two minds.
Oh, okay. And Varða, the title of the record?
Yeah, that's like an old Icelandic word for piles of stones they used to use for navigation in Iceland. Oh. So because you can't really see the stars, because we have in the summer we have sun on all day.
Right, right.
So they used to make piles of rocks, and then you walk to one, and you could see the next one. And it's kind of like
a cairn.
Yeah,
cairn,
exactly. Yeah. That's it. And it's kind of how we see the album. It's, you know, the songs are like cairns, but it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
The journey
between
yeah.
them, you know.
So, Pieter, how the two of you have played in bands, right? Like
yeah.
more conventional bands. Mm-hmm. How did this duo come to pass?
I guess it all started when Bergur was working at a friend's studio in our hometown, Seltjarnarnes, and he went on tour, so he lent Bergur the studio, and Bergur called me up and said, I guess we have to use this opportunity, so we started making some music without any intention of it being anything. So after some sessions and like working on some tracks, we finally realized that we had a proper album, and that was our debut album released in 2014, mm-hmm. So we released that. So the band kind of was formed around these sessions.
And how quickly did you realize that you not only had a band, but that you had a sound?
We have been playing together since we were kids. I mean, we met in kindergarten when we were probably 3 years old. And
I'm betting you didn't play music that sounded like this.
No, well, our first real band was actually a jazz band, or like a jazz, funk, rock, fusion band.
Okay.
And then we went playing reggae and, you know, everything between that kind of stuff. But we always found the need to do something a little bit different, and we have very different, you know, influences from all the way from childhood, from what our parents listened to and everything. And I think this is kind of a fusion of all those influences and all this work also we did playing jazz or classical or whatever.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, people will hear a classical music influence, especially in the album where you have live strings, live mm-hmm. horns. You know, there's a mm-hmm. there are some songs that have a very orchestral sound to them.
Absolutely.
So do you guys have classical training, orchestration, that sort of thing in your background?
Yeah, so I'm originally a trombone player, actually.
Uh-huh.
So I play all the horns on the record. So that kind of comes a bit from there.
Mm. And Pieter...
Yeah, I originally started as a classical guitar player,
uh-huh.
then formed more into jazz guitar, then later on more like compositions and making noise.
Effect pedals.
Guitar, yeah, yeah. Guitar pedals and making noise and kind of, yeah, get loose into that. But
yeah. So when you did make that first album... Olafur Arnalds is on that record,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he played drums.
Yeah, yeah. Playing drums.
Yeah.
A guy who's known as a keyboard player.
Yeah.
And who is known for, you know, music that has a kind of lyrical, maybe melancholy cast to it. I know the two of you have worked with the late Johan Johansson, mm-hmm. well known for his award-winning film scores. Also, very lyrical, very melancholy. And then the piece you just played for us fits right in. So what is it about musicians coming out of Iceland, even musicians who have metal or reggae or jazz in their background, coming up with this sound? Is it something in the water there?
Yeah, I mean, there's many different theories. I think it's just, you know, the influence and the weather and the darkness and all that has a big influence on people. And we've been discussing, you know, like yeah. In the wintertime, you can't really do much when you're a kid except stay inside. So we just stayed in a garage and played music, and I think that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, it tends to be that way, yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like there's been a steady stream of great Icelandic musicians coming out in the last 10, 20 years, and I guess that's a result of this kind of focus on keeping kids energized and entertained and engaged.
Absolutely.
So this is your second record.
Yeah.
And you're on a classical music label, Sony Masterworks.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Does it seem like a comfortable fit for you?
Yeah, we love it. You know, they're really futuristic being a classical music label, you know, and we like the people there. We love working with them. Yeah.
Because, you know, here you are. I mean, Pietro's got a rack full of foot pedals. You've got a laptop and an electric keyboard. It doesn't look like classical music.
Right.
On the other hand, as we've already discussed, you have that in your background. And I think that's what people are responding to when they hear this music. It also seems like music that could profitably, you know, productively be used in film and TV and stuff. Has any of the music gone that route yet?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. We were now just finishing scoring our first film.
Really?
Yeah, it's an Icelandic documentary about two artists that lived here in New York.
The Vasulkas.
Yeah, Vasulkas. The film is called The Vasulka Effects. It's Steina. She is Icelandic. She married an artist from Czech Republic.
Uh-huh.
And they lived here and they founded the kitchen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were kind of the pioneers of video art. And they were hanging out with everyone from Andy Warhol and Salvador Dali to Jimi Hendrix and Miles Davis. And they had a really interesting life. So.
Wow. And so will the music... If the documentary is about someone who is based here in New York, in Manhattan, on the lower Manhattan art scene, does that change the way you write the music, or is it...
I guess it was an interesting mix because Steina, she has like really like strong roots in Iceland, so you're kind of working with like their backgrounds as well, into the 60s, like in New York.
But of course, a lot of the... film, it's just their video art, so we were also scoring to that, so I guess that had a big influence.
Okay. Well, on the record, Berger, you mentioned how it's sort of like signposts along a journey.
Yeah.
And there are two pieces that kind of go together because they're yin and yang, they're opposites, right? Yeah. Ro and Oroy?
Yep.
What do those two terms mean? What are these two pieces about?
So Ro is like stability or like, you know, something relaxed. But Oro is more of a chaos and, you know, just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And they are kind of describe in a way how the Icelandic nature or our environment growing up can be super unpredictable, you know. Even walking to school, you can all of a sudden have a snowstorm or whatever, you know. It's those opposites that... are always playing together.
And were these pieces written together? Did you intend them to be sort of companion pieces?
Yeah, I guess so. But
I guess they were supposed to be one piece, but then they worked better split up, so...
It kind of came naturally.
Yeah, but now you're going to put them back together again.
Yeah.
All right, we're speaking with the members of, I'll say, Húgar, because that's just easier for me. And the album is called Varða. Both of these pieces, Ro and Oroy, are on it. Let's hear a live performance. Thank you. two more pieces from the Icelandic duo Hugar here in our studio. Two excerpts that you'll find on their new album called Varða. We heard Ro and Oroy, and once again, Berger playing the keyboard and Pieter playing the guitar. Although, Pieter, you play the guitar almost as a trigger for electronics, it seems. It doesn't sound like a guitar in your hands.
I think that's the part of the fun.
Like, yeah.
Making things sound different than they are supposed to sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part of the challenge, I guess.
Now, you guys were talking before about this documentary you're doing about the folks who ended up founding The Kitchen, the big performance space in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
And that's not the only connection in the arts, in music, between Iceland and New York. I mean, it seems like we have American composers like Nico Muhly and folk singers like Sam Amadon who are in Reykjavik, it seems, all the time, and lots of Icelandic musicians coming here. I get the sense that there's a real kind of community and that whatever style of music you might be writing or playing, people seem to know each other and play with each other. Is that really how it is?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Our studio is in a complex with 20 different studios, and it's basically the who's who of Icelandic music, and it's amazing to be there and working there and, you know, getting Ólafur Arnalds to play the drums on a record or whatever, you know, we can, you know, or if we need to borrow gear or, you know, instruments, that's never a problem, and everybody's super helpful, and that's definitely the vibe of the community.
Yeah. And for you, Berger, there's another New York connection. You were with Björk at The Shed when she did her big sort of introductory thing for that new performance space here in Manhattan.
That's right, yeah.
What was that like?
That was amazing. I mean, working with her for a few years now, first as a recording engineer, now as a musical director for her shows, and it's amazing to be working with a talent like that. She's just mind-blowing every time.
The Shed, for folks who don't know, is this amazing building on the west side near Hudson Yards, and the whole building is retractable.
Yeah.
It can be, in 5 minutes, it can transform from a completely enclosed place to an open-air plaza as the shell of the building, however many hundreds of tons that is, gets moved out of the way. It's extraordinary.
It is, yeah, truly.
So the album Varða has a kind of a nocturnal quality to it. Was this a nighttime project for the two of you?
Yeah, actually it was. It was mostly recorded at the night in the studio because that's when we had the most time.
Yeah, Pieter was studying architecture. And
yeah, we
really?
Were studying in between. So
I was recording with Björk and Ólafur and others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was kind of this, kind of all made in the night. So
yeah. And depending on the time of year, that could be 23 hours long or an hour long.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're studying architecture.
Yeah, I did that.
Are you done with it?
Yeah, almost. I still have to finish a year, but mm-hmm. I work part-time as it now, so.
Okay. Do you see, you know the famous saying, architecture is frozen music.
Yeah.
Do you see connections between music and architecture?
Definitely, you know, just the creative process, I would say, is just exactly the same as for like architecture project or making music. It's just like this core, just creativity and just going up and down with ideas and all that. Mm-hmm. So
what about ideas of form?
Yeah, also that, definitely. And just how, like, the book that David Byrne wrote about how music influenced architecture, and that idea of thinking of the New York, like, mm-hmm. punk scene, the 80s, and how maybe those rooms that they had to play in influenced their sound.
Absolutely.
All of that, and also in classical music as well, you know. So,
If you think of Renaissance music, you know,
exactly.
And medieval music, I mean, so much of that was a response to the place where those pieces would have been played.
Yeah, definitely.
So the two are, you know, they've sort of grown up hand in hand here in the West. Now, do you have like a final thesis or project that you have to do before you're a fully licensed architect?
Yeah, kind of. That's still left. I'm working on the music now for a bit, but yeah. A lot of interesting stuff that has influenced, like just with our, we make our like music videos. We're working with a great director, Máni Sigfússon. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, just visualizing things is a big part.
We visualize our music a lot when we're writing it.
Well, now that's interesting because there are a couple of videos for tracks from Vartha.
Yep.
And they are kind of like the music in that even though you're watching something that looks like it's a story, it's not really this happened and then this happened and then it leaves a lot of room for the viewer to try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, our idea with, you know, we make instrumental music and of course we have maybe some ideas of what it's about, but we don't really want to give that to the audience because the magic of it for us is making your own pictures and storylines and all that. So we wanted the videos to be, you know, you can really interpret them in any way you want, and it's also, you know, so that it can be a discussion point. You can meet your friend that also saw the video or heard the music, and you can try and figure out what it's about, but you probably won't have the same conclusion, you know?
Right, yeah. Which, as you say, is part of the fun, part of the point. So the next piece you're going to play for us is called Haf. What does that mean?
It means ocean.
In Iceland, like where we live, we're like surrounded by ocean.
Of course,
so I guess it's a big part of who we are.
Right.
Seeing the ocean, you know, go up and down every day and you know, feel the power of it. It's every day when growing up, you know, it has a really big effect. And also, you know, being away from it when traveling. Of course, you have it here in New York, but some places we go, it's strange for us to not see the ocean or feel it, you know?
Yeah, especially since 99% of Icelanders live on the coast, right? Yeah. And nobody really lives in the interior, it seems.
No, that's right.
Huh, all right. So the ocean is a big presence, it's a big thing, but this is kind of a little piece. How did that happen?
It actually was supposed to be a big piece. But then we took on the album, we took the string arrangement and we just loved that, so we decided that was just it.
Okay.
But now we're doing a more electronic version.
Okay. And so, Pietro, for this one, the guitar is put down. Yes, it's on the floor, not to put too fine a point on it.
Yeah.
So... We have two keyboards at work in this next piece. Once again, the group Hugar and a live performance of Haf. Thank you. Once again, that is the Icelandic duo that I'm calling Hugar. Hugar would be the more proper pronunciation?
Hugar.
Hugar. Okay. I'm just saying Hugar because that's what people will look for when they see H-U-G-A-R. That's the band that we're hearing in live performance. That piece was called Hof. And it's from the album Vartha, which is the most recent. And then when does this documentary come out?
It's actually being premiered in Sweden on September 21st.
Oh, so it's done.
It's done, yeah. And it's going to be touring the film festivals before it's fully out. But
okay.
So early next year, I guess.
And you guys will be touring in the fall as well over in Europe?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, this has been great having the two of you here with us. Berger, Pieter, thank you so much for performing for us.
Thanks for having us.
And congratulations on Vartha, the latest from Hugar. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.